From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. And all full disclosure, it is Monday night. We are about a half an hour after the public introduction and then following press conference of Kermit Davis being announced as the, or introduced as the new Ole Miss head basketball coach. So a lot of reaction today to that. And if we start saying Monday, Tuesday, whatever, just know we're taping on Monday night. It's Tuesday's podcast. Ole Miss plays baseball at 11 o'clock, probably by the time you hear this. And don't sue us. We're sober. We're just having a hard time with dates, probably, if I start trying to talk in the present or the past at the same time.
And I'm beginning to wonder why we're so sober, because it's 6:43 on a Monday night, and you didn't want to drink, and I'm thinking, I kind of did.
Well, you could have. I wasn't going to hold you from it.
Still might.
I'm kind of tired. I haven't really eaten all day for the most part. I don't really know why. I just haven't. Just not feeling great. We'll get through it. Also, on the show today, David DeLucci. And then while we're all screwing up our days, remember, I taped that on Friday. So when David talks about being in the studios for the SEC Network on Saturday and Sunday, yeah, that's already happened. He did well. It's fine. So that's not about what the conversation is, but don't get confused. I taped David on Friday. It's Monday currently, and then this is coming out on Tuesday. So there is your timeline for this. But timeline every single day is the Oxford Exxon for dinner or lunch. Lunch special is $4.99. Dinner with the ribs. You can get wet or dry with the Oxford Exxon. All Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Also gets the bottomless refill for 49 cents. Ross Bjork made sure to thank Ben Craddock and the Craddock family today on the stage of Craddock Court, the pavilion, when we were in there for the press conference, or sorry, the public introduction.
Ben was Ben there?
No, I don't think Ben was there. Yeah, no. I did not see Ben.
I didn't either.
Ross just pointed out the court was named after the Craddock family.
It is.
So, it is. It is. There's a big thing on the floor, big logo. All right. Anyway, Oxford, sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm a little scatterbrained. We're going to get through it all together, though. By this point, we've done 1,900 shows or so. You're either in it or you're out at this point. So, all right, tell them about Clark Ford, the Illinois regroup.
Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. There's a phone number there. You call it. It's 662-257-1900. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and Corey sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. We tell you about it all the time. It's true. It's really simple. And you get your quote, and then it's up to you. You get to decide how complicated you make it from there. If you want to shop your quote around, you can. That's your right. It's your prerogative. Go for it. Doesn't take any time away from Corey. Just takes time away from you. You will eventually discover that the quote you got from Clark Ford was the best one. And at that point, you get to join the legion of podcast listeners who have allowed Corey and the people at Clark Ford to take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience, and will make it even better, because that's what we do. At the end of your deal, right before you finalize everything, tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on our podcast. Mention any of our four podcasts that we do here with MPW Digital. $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory. Again, the number 662-257-1900.
I didn't realize Peter Burns from ESPN was in town at the event. I saw him taking pictures.
I think he's doing double duty, because he's doing
State NIT.
No, I think he's doing Ole Miss football as part of their spring tour thing.
I was just here anyway then.
I think this was the day that he was supposed to come for talk to Matt or whatnot.
Okay. Whatever. So he was just already here.
Or he went ahead and said, hey, I ought to knock Ole Miss out now because I can do two birds with a stone.
Okay.
Whatever. But yeah.
Just pointed that out. I saw it.
I knew he was on his way. I didn't see him there. But
all right. The particulars while we're getting started. Kermit Davis getting a pretty hefty salary considering the past commitment by Ole Miss basketball, a much stronger financial commitment on paper here. 4 years, which is the government max. $10 million contract, $2.5 million a year through the 21-22 season. Then the assistant coaching pool for $900,000. I saw somewhere that in 2015, Ole Miss's assistant pool was $467,000, I believe. Don't kill me if I'm a little off there.
Roughly right. Someone was asking. I said it's roughly double what it was a year ago, give or take a few thousand dollars. It's not exactly double, but it's close.
So that's a very pertinent number. Ole Miss should be able to, attract assistants, bringing two with him, obviously Middle Tennessee, people that he knows well, Ronnie Hamilton, Wynn Case, but another spot open, said he's still evaluating that. We've talked about some names. Some names have been out on our message board, but we'll update that at the given time. Also, a lot of bonus structure. Go ahead.
He's interviewing Brett Campbell tomorrow, the coach at Chipola.
Today.
I think tomorrow.
Tuesday. I know. This is coming out on Tuesday.
Yes.
See?
There you go. He's interviewing Brett Campbell today.
Just use days of the week. He's on Tuesday.
Brett Campbell on Tuesday.
There you go.
I don't think Brett Campbell is going to get the job.
You don't?
I don't.
Brett Campbell is the guy that had a lot of JUCO AAU ties.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought, we'll get into a lot of it as we go.
Yeah.
I thought there were a lot of, if you were up to date on where things stand,
okay,
I thought there were a lot of clues today.
Okay.
But I think one of them was they're going to go heavy high school and transfer and not the Jukes as much. Although they had success with JUCOs at LSU. JUCOs are just hard to do. It's just hard to make them work.
You know, Andy gets criticized a lot for certain JUCOs not working out here at the end, but for the most part, he hit pretty dang good on JUCOs at a level that saved his tenure and is incredibly hard to pull off. I mean, frankly, it was lucky as well as – I mean, Marshall Henderson was fairly lucky. They both needed each other, and it just worked out for the best.
And
Stephon Moody was whatever.
It's a big-time get
on
a JUCO level.
Yeah.
But Steph was – a scorer, and Marshall was a scorer. And if you can just score the basketball, you can score the basketball.
DeAndre wasn't the next version of those.
Right.
Yeah.
And DeAndre had never gone and played the JUCO thing.
Mm-hmm. Just came straight from Miami.
They thought he could just come and be the scorer, and he wasn't.
So anyway, some bonuses that I can point out here as well. He gets a $50,000 bonus. If Ole Miss averages actual attendance of 8,000 a game or 5,500 season tickets sold, both would be increases there. Also, that bumps up to 75 if it goes to 9,000 a game or 6,500 tickets. If he wins 12 SEC games, which in the current SEC, that would be quite good. He gets $150,000 for that. Also gets an extra $50,000 for finishing in the top four of the regular season rankings. $100,000 for winning the regular season the title. $25,000 for making the SEC tournament championship game, and $50,000 for winning it. That's 25 and 25, not 50 more. Also, $50,000 every NCAA tournament berth, and then $25,000 every NCAA tournament win. Also, $25,000 for earning an NIT Final Four bid, right?
$25 to make the NIT, and then another $25 if they win the whole.
Okay, NIT. See, I thought there was like a Final Four thing in there for the NIT, but maybe I'm wrong. I just looked at
There's not a lot of NIT emphasis in that contract.
Well, that's not the point.
Which would have been ridiculed had there been.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you can't put that in.
Well, I mean, $200,000 every NIT round you win. Oh, God, that would have been. We talked about it last week. We've mentioned our fishbowl and different things. I think Ole Miss held a nice event today. I mean, frankly, the crowd showed up. It was good. That you need a public introduction. You need something, like I said, with the sport coat and the pictures and the different things. And then we did get a separate media setting. So credit to Ole Miss. Thanks to Ross for that.
Oh, but they absolutely did it the right way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's good.
Because there's. I say this sometimes and people think I'm being critical of pep rallies. There is a place for a pep rally. Pep rallies are good. They are needed. They can build enthusiasm in programs. Public events like that. There's nothing in the world wrong with bringing the coach and his family and the band and all that stuff in one place and saying, let's go get them. Here we go. Rock 'em, sock 'em.
You'd have to really be an Eeyore curmudgeon to hate pep rallies. Like that would be a weird hill.
Yes, and there's a place for press conferences.
They are.
What there is not really a place for is pep rallies that include a press conference where people can applaud or boo questions or answers. That's not a place. Those are two things that are oil and water and should be separated, and Ole Miss separated them today. It was really well done.
They showed off their arena, which is something you should have done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, there's a place for the public thing. I'm not anti-public things. There's a place for it. then you do the press conference in a different setting where media ask questions that are different questions and he answers them. It's all good.
I thought Ross had a good performance. I thought that Kermit came off as very likable. Again, this is not a negative. This is a good thing. I think Kermit has a quality to him, as little as I don't know him at all, but as little as I've seen him, that he freeze pulled off a lot. Mike Bianco does a really good job with this. A bit of a chameleon. I think he's going to be able to talk to multiple types of people, go up and down the socioeconomic scale. I think he's going to be able to be a representative that is able to discuss small town Mississippi roots, but then also get into a bigger picture in time, you know, mindset when necessary as well. So yeah. I thought Kermit showed off well there, and I'm being serious here too, and it's going to come off as a criticism. I hope that the prevailing thought for the day from Ole Miss wasn't that Vitter was also on the podium. Because it's an approval rating right now that I don't know how to even put into words with the fan base. And I don't mean the crazy message boarder. I mean everybody. And it just – I mean, again, I'm a pretty good representation of my demographic normal Ole Miss fan. I have a lot of friends like that. And I turned my phone on airplane mode when the thing started because I was trying to tape it, and I wouldn't stop talking to make it a usable file. That was my fault. But when I turned it back on after the press conference, I had lots of texts, and a lot of them were Vitter-related.
How many did you have? Enumerate lots of.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Hold on.
Because I know you did. I'm just curious. Give me a rough number.
Okay. 7.
That's a lot.
I mean,
that is.
It's enough for me to mention it.
Yes. Was it unanimous?
Yeah, it was all negative. They would like Ross and Kermit to be up there by themselves.
I did not get text. I got.
And now look, Vitter didn't say anything negative. If you just looked at a transcript, 100% fine, great, move on with your day. All good. The chancellor's job in these things is to get up, introduce, and then get out of the way.
I'm shocked that person can go into fundraising events and raise money. I will say that. I'm stunned at it. As someone who, and I'll freely admit, man, I'm not great in those settings. I would do better on that stage in that setting than he would. Not only that, I'd kill him. I'd blow him away.
Think so?
Me, yes, absolutely. I'm convinced I could run for chancellor against him and win.
You would do a bad job, but you could probably win.
I would probably do a poor job, but I would win. And if I campaigned at all, I'd run away with it.
Yeah, I just...
And I'm not popular. You would destroy him.
I just found that weird a little bit that on an event that's all positive, that I thought Kermit showed, just from what I've heard, maybe better than I expected, because I thought, hey, he's got something here if he allows himself to do it from a fan morale standpoint.
He's been a lot of places, yeah. Okay? He grew up in a home, and I know it was a different era, but his dad was the head basketball coach at an SEC school.
Mm-hmm.
He played at an SEC school. He was a big part of John Brady's staff at LSU that won. Now, he went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
He's been a head coach for 16 years. He has built a national brand at Middle Tennessee. There's no question Middle Tennessee in college basketball has a national brand. Well, you don't do that by having no media skill. I thought he did very well today. I expected that he would do
well. He was really good.
I thought he would do well. This is an area where he's super comfortable. He's got lots of family. He's from Mississippi. He's got lots of family from, what, Tupelo and Olive Branch and from the area where he was where – you know, Meadville, that's down near Macomb and all that, right? Or am I missing it up? I don't know. Got lots of Mississippi roots. He knows lots of people. He certainly wasn't uncomfortable in the setting that he was in today. He's known this job was coming open for a while. He's tight with Andy. I actually think he was one of the people that Andy consulted before Andy stepped down. He's had a lot of time to think about this. He was polished. He's had a super busy week and a half. I thought he was relaxed. I thought he was raring to go. I thought Ross always does fairly well in those settings, does well. He knows what he wants to say, says it. I question except I don't question it. And we're going to, I'll stop with the Vitter thing. I don't think Vitter is one of these people that is self-aware enough to know that A, he's awful on the stage, just awful, and B, that people don't like him. I don't think he is aware of the fact that people don't like him. I think he completely lacks self-awareness.
Yeah, it wasn't a big part of the day. I thought it was relevant enough to mention, given the fact that it was absolutely relevant.
The one phone conversation I had after was about Vitter.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. Why was he up there?
And I mean, that's an easy answer, but
the answer is because he has no idea that everyone despises him. That there's a large portion of the fan base.
You really think that?
Yes. I don't think he has a clue. Totally self-aware. Totally self-unaware.
Okay.
As opposed to some people who are vigilantly self-aware, he is completely unaware.
Okay.
My opinion.
All right.
I thought the rest of it went as absolutely well as you could hope that a fan event would go. He said all the right things. He hit all the right notes. He talked about fan involvement, and he's right.
He really harped in a good way on fan involvement.
I mean, I was laughing when he first did it because I'm like, well, you do have some bonuses in here where you get some extra change if you get those numbers. I mean, because he said 7,000.
Yeah, let's sell some season tickets. let me just pull a number out of the air, 7,000.
He said 7,000 season tickets. I went $75,000, cha-ching. No, I mean, I'm kidding. And he's right. You have to build a brand, and to build a brand, look, the arena's nice. The arena is really nice, but the arena is not particularly nice from an advantageous standpoint when no one's in it and you're playing a game. Frankly, it's almost a cavern when no one's there and you're trying to play a game. There's like this echo and stuff. It just doesn't.
It's a big building.
It's a big building, so you need to fill it up. If you want a national brand, you have to fill it up. He talked about the brand that they'll have in recruiting and all of those things. I thought he touched on everything that fans want to hear and everything that, frankly, is the truth. I thought it was an incredibly class gesture on his part to make not just a passing mention of Andy Kennedy, but a real meaningful mention of Andy Kennedy and the job that Andy did to build the program that got to the place where it is today. And for the people who won't give Andy credit for that, you simply are not being honest. And he talked about that, how Andy's going to be a Hall of Famer in Mississippi and that he's building off what Andy did, and you have to take it to another level. I thought he hit every proper chord. Thought he did it extremely well. And with us, he answered questions frankly, which is his reputation.
Just a little clarification there. Obviously, Brady got there. Davis wasn't on his Final Four staff.
You're right.
They got to the Sweet 16 with Davis as a member of the staff, and then he made the Final Four much later when he was already at Middle Tennessee. Just whatever.
Helped him build a really strong program there, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
John had a hell of a run at LSU.
He made the Final Four in 2005-06. Davis left, I think, after the 2001-02 season,
right.
somewhere in there.
He'd been gone for a little while.
So,
I'm correct.
Not a big deal. And it was kind of cool, too. I mean, you know, I think you asked him about this in the press conference. See a guy that, in a lot of ways, finally kind of gets his dream. I get he's been at Middle Tennessee. He's built a brand. But mid-major is not the same thing. It's not the same program. It's not what you've got to do every single day as it is at an Ole Miss or an SEC program. And I would kind of like – maybe somebody's writing it. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving an idea to somebody that I'd rather not write it. But – you would love to know what those last 10 days have been like at Middle, where you've been there 16 years or whatever it is, the friendships, the roots and everything. To even though you're getting it, I can't believe how unbelievably difficult that would have been from an emotional level the last week or so, especially when he admitted it here. He had two jobs. He had two programs. He was running two teams at once. He said he'd already, you know, talked to the Ole Miss players on the phone and different things. And you're coaching your guys that you built this thing to be at least arguably in that top tier of mid-major programs, and you're leaving and doing all these things after so long. It's one thing to do it after 1 or 2 years, but 16 years and getting that opportunity after the whole NCAA thing and kind of getting that chance, pretty cool human interest story there.
And he talked about how he was kind of cool with staying at Middle. I mean, he could have stayed at Middle as long as he wanted to stay at Middle.
Wasn't getting the axe in Middle.
They were going to max out whatever they could give him. 800,000 or so, maybe a little more down the road. They were going to do the best they could. But he had a contract at Middle Tennessee probably as long as he didn't, like, commit a felony.
Yeah.
It probably would have had to be a bad felony.
Let's take a break there from the Kermit Davis talk. We're going to go to David DeLucci in a second on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. But before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, or MasterCutsLawn.com is the way to get a hold of them. A couple different offers for podcast listeners. One, if you got a pressure washing job of over 2,000 square feet, $50 off for that. Or if you sign an annual contract for them to take care of your yard all year long, you get a free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalk. So again, 662-607-7773.
Podcast is also brought to you by the Moonlight Grahams. Reminder, they will be playing Saturday, April the 28th at the World Music Nashville in the Bellevue area at 7 p.m. The Moonlight Grahams are a folk Americana band started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Tickets are just $10. That includes a digital copy of the new album. The digital download cards will be given to you when you arrive at the World Music Nashville. You can buy tickets off the Moonlight Grahams Facebook page or on TicketZone.com. Make sure you get your tickets before they sell out. You'll absolutely love it. Remember their new album, The Moonlight Grahams. It's out on Spotify and iTunes. Make sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and if you like them, spread the word. Again, Saturday, April 28th, World Music Nashville at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss the Moonlight Grahams. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The Grove Bowl is April the 7th at Vaught Hemingway Stadium. We'll have more information about that as that date gets closer. Finally, before we go to David, the podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades, and no one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, harryalexander.com, click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you are looking for, then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
Now, David DeLucci on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. David, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Recording this on Friday morning around 10 o'clock. You're getting ready for your debut with the SEC Network over the weekend. I talked to you a little bit about it. I talked to Brady about, obviously, replacing you in some Ole Miss games. When did this kind of come about? When did the first call come that you thought this might be an opportunity for you?
This was something that came up, I'd say around January. I had constantly had correspondence back and forth with some of the guys at the SEC Network and ESPN, and having the opportunity the last 2 years with Richard Cross to announce the regionals. Was the Oxford Regional, and then last year the Hattiesburg Regional. I started to do more work with the network, and we kept up through emails back and forth. And I was really basically just asking that whenever Ole Miss had a nationally televised game, that they would give me an opportunity to stay in the booth instead of, you know, announcing a midweek game and then a Friday and then move out of the booth on Saturday. I felt like no one knew the team better than me. And maybe if they had an opportunity to leave me in there, if they would consider it. And as things evolved, I got a call in January to see if I would be interested in auditioning. So I flew to Charlotte and auditioned at the SEC Network studios. And about a week later, they gave me a call back and said that they were going to offer me an opportunity to do some studio dates and some games. So I jumped on it. I'm going to do 30 studio days and 10 games as a color commentator. And it starts tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. I'll be in the studio. And then starting April 8th, we're working on a new show that will kind of cap up the week around the SEC. And I'll be one of three hosts on that show. So I'm excited.
You've kind of piqued my interest a little bit. What's an audition like for that job? What did that consist of?
I had to go in, and they had some clips from the last year's World Series with LSU in Florida. And I had to break down some clips. It was preseason. I had to give them my preseason picks, coach of the year, top teams, top offenses, just, you know, your basic stuff, about the conference, as you go into the season. And it was almost as if we were filming, and I felt like we were filming a true show, which the way that they had it. I mean, it was lights, camera, action. And, the last thing they asked me to do was break down on camera the mechanics of swing, which once when I found that out, that's what I love talking hitting. I love talking fundamentals. And that kind of eased my nerves that was going to be something that was really familiar to me. So it was just like filming a regular show in the studio, and everything went great.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I mean, you've hit in front of 50,000 people, and then you go in for a studio with 10 people around, and you have nerves. But did you? I mean, was there butterflies going in for this thing?
It was. There were definitely butterflies. But you know what? It's talking baseball, and it's something that I enjoy doing. It's something that I feel comfortable with. I really think that working at Ole Miss and doing the SEC Plus games, doing the stand-up pre-games for that, helped out a ton. It was just kind of, very comfortable atmosphere. The people were great, the producers, the camera guys. And look, man, I hate to bring this up, but I've had opportunities to be on The Price is Right.
That's true.
So that kind of helped me out too, right? I mean, that's taped in front of a live studio audience. And very similar surroundings with the cameras and the lights and all the hands around the set. So it was a familiar topic, and it was a comfortable atmosphere.
I'm gonna take an aside for a second. Is that Price is Right thing as nutty from a filming standpoint as it might seem like it is? It seems like chaos in motion.
It is 100% chaos, out of control, electric atmosphere. I feel like it is like an SEC Saturday football game, and the fans have had 2 days to tailgate nonstop, and they go in, they're crazy. It's loud. It's a smaller studio. It has about I'm thinking 300 people, and they've been standing in line all day to get in there, so they're wired up. They smell like they've been standing in line all day, and it's just loud, man.
And we're talking everything from soccer moms to college kids to anything.
Depends on, exactly. It depends on whose bachelorette party is over there. It depends on whose family's taking a trip to California and want to get on The Price is Right. I mean, it's controlled chaos would be the best way to put it.
Yeah. Did you fashion, I mean, when you started doing this, I mean, you got a chance to talk baseball. You're in Oxford some anyway. It kind of was what it was. Did you expect, for lack of a better term, media career out of this?
Never. I never dreamed of it. I went to Ole Miss. I studied exercise science. And just throughout my playing days, I've always been very critical of the announcers on TV, and it appears to be an easier job when you're watching and listening than it actually is. And did a lot of public service announcements, done some speaking engagements, and That's it. And then all of a sudden one day, I got a phone call in April, from, CST Network here in Baton Rouge. They asked me if I was available to announce college baseball game here in Baton Rouge. And I said, I was thinking it was LSU game. And I said, oh man, absolutely. I'd love to do it. And as we were talking, he said, okay, you need to be there. It's a day game. You need to be there by 10, yada, yada, yada. And I said, well, who's LSU playing? And the producer said, oh, LSU. He said, no, it's Southern versus Grambling. So I was thinking, oh man, you know, I was thinking I was going to get a chance at LSU. I'm doing Southern Grambling. So I'm going to make this the best SWAC ball game that you can air on TV. And I really, really prepared. I called the coaches. I interviewed the coaches. They'd probably never been interviewed before. And I had all of this work, and I went in there going, you know, just like my baseball career, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go 100%, and I'm going to be prepared, and I'm going to make it as professional as possible. And it was fun. I did not know how to pace myself. I ended up running out of material about the third inning, and the game went 11 innings. And I had a great time doing it. And I must have impressed some people, because then it led to announcing the Atlantic Sun Conference tournament 2 years in a row, and it just kept evolving, and I got better and better. I enjoyed it more. I learned more about it, and it led to Ole Miss, which I'm very grateful for. Had a great time doing it, and will still do it if they'll have me. And then now here. So I think the moral is, if you do something, do it to the best of your ability, and you never know where it's going to lead to. And here I am. So I still don't consider this a career, because I'm having so much fun at doing it. And it can end just like a baseball opportunity. It can end any day. And in the meantime, I'm going to have fun and do the best that I can.
So it kind of lets you stay around the game, though. I mean, I would assume that, I mean, it's been your whole life. Being around it to some extent would still be fulfilling.
I tell everybody, I love being around the game. The game is special. It's been great to me. I'm in a position now where I think, as a steward of the game of baseball, it's my responsibility to make sure it's better, and I leave a mark and help people love it the way I love it. And so, you know, I always want to give back to the game. But I tell everybody, I coached kids for a couple years at the Little League level. I have a baseball academy. Obviously, I played many years. This is the closest I can be on the field without having my body break down or get hurt or have parents yell at me because I'm not playing their kids as much as they want. So I'm good with this. I'm happy. I'm near the game. I think ultimately I'd love to be teaching about hitting and coaching hitting. But in the meantime, talking about baseball is a great opportunity, and I'm enjoying it.
We take a break from Chase's conversation with David DeLucci to tell you that the podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's Grenada Nissan USA. .com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You know you're getting a good one when you get Robert Gambrell and Associates, because Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Now back to David DeLucci on the Billy's Pecans Hotline on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Yeah, that's what everybody's told Andy Kennedy, you know, in the last few weeks, is you're going to go do some TV and you're not going to lose. You're going to be around the game and you're going to have an undefeated record for while you do it.
I've watched AK, and that guy is a natural. He definitely has a career at broadcasting. He is so good, so entertaining to listen to, and so informative. I hope that I can be somewhere near what AK's like because he's outstanding. But I think one of the things that you end up missing is obviously you're talking about the game, but you miss having an impact on that game itself, whether you're playing or coaching or calling plays. And I think everybody misses that part of sports. I'm not so sure as well as AK is cut out for this and as wonderful as he is, he may end up going back because that's the one ingredient you'll never get is being involved in the game to the point where it's on your shoulders. Whether you're a coach or a player, you can never get rid of that.
Yeah, kind of transition for a second, because I'm curious from this, just from a personal level. I mean, is my schedule is not great, but it's nowhere near some of the travel that you've had to deal with. Obviously, your wife has traveled a good bit with work and different responsibilities. What's kind of been the secret to, you know, make home time when both you guys are around and different things? Just as a, you know, you're a family man, so what's that like?
It's very difficult, but it's something that we're used to. We were traveling. Before we got married, we were dating while I was playing with the Rangers is when we started dating, and she was doing Price is Right. So this is the norm. It will be weird when the day comes that she retires from the Price is Right because we'll have to spend more time to each other, and I don't know if we'll be able to tolerate each other for long periods of time. But it's what we know. It's normal. The most important thing is the well-being of our daughter and taking care of her and making sure that one of her parents is always around her. And if not, it's not a very long time that she's with her grandparents. We've never had a sitter babysit or her spend the night at anyone other than her grandparents. And we're very, very conscious of making sure she has quality time with her parents. When we're both in town, we're always doing something together. The three of us, and when one has to travel, the other tries their best to stay with her. And if we have to leave town, it's just for a day or so. You know, I think we get wrapped up in society and the business world, and sometimes our children become secondary. And that's not why we had a child. We had a child to make sure we spent as much of our energy on her well-being as possible, and I think she's thriving. And the day will come when both parents are at home, and you know it will be even better. But it's been fun, man. I tell everybody, I think that we've been married 8 years and probably spent equivalent of 4 years actually together in the same place, and everything's been great. It's like a honeymoon all over again. Every time you come home from a road trip. You get to see the smile of your family and child, and it's great.
Yeah. Well, what is Rachel's schedule? How does that filming and production work as far as a timetable?
They go off of Drew Carey's schedule. He's got so many different projects going on that he had Dancing with the Stars. They had to work around that. He's got Whose Line Is This? They have to work around that. He's got a lot going on, but typically, they'll work 3 to 4 days a week, two shows a day. Sometimes they'll go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes they'll just go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It just depends on what Drew can fit in at that time. And as I said, two shows a day. It's a long day, a lot of effort, showing off microwaves and refrigerators and all that stuff. Always make fun of her. I'm like, you know what? I've run around a field all day. You stand there, point to things, and you think that's a grueling day? Are you kidding me? You didn't have to run 2 miles to pass the test to get in spring training, you know? So it's fun. I mean, it's other than Disney World, it's the happiest place on earth because they give away prizes. They enjoy giving away prizes, and the people love to go to the show.
You got any tips for me if somebody gets on Price is Right? Is there a tip or two?
You got in order to get picked, you have to be the loudest and craziest person in line. They want characters to be on that stage, and that's the key. Go in groups. Always have like a party, a bachelorette party, family reunion. It's nice to have firefighters and servicemen and women. But they want characters on that show. And if you're standing in line smiling and quiet, you'll be sitting in the audience watching somebody else play. So you got to be above and beyond, funnier, louder, and goofier than everybody else to get on there.
You mentioned it a second ago. Next couple seasons, we've got the pull to get you on Dancing with the Stars, don't we? we can get that done, right?
I think, Rachel, it's filmed in the CBS studios where Price is Right is.
Okay.
And I think Rachel would be a great contestant on Dancing with the Stars. We watch every episode. We love it. There's no chance that I get on there. I'm too stiff. The Humpty Dance and all the stuff from the 90s is not in style anymore. I was okay in doing the Humpty Dance and the Gator and all that, but this type of dancing is not for me, man. I'm more of a dirty dancing type of 90s school music, and I would just get laughed out of that.
No, I mean, you know, athletes always really do well. You probably aren't any worse than David Ross.
No, I had the opportunity to play on the Kansas Stars former major league team last year with David Ross, and we talked about it. And I think I'd give him a run for his money. But coming off of a huge World Series win and the tour that he had, that's his popularity was way up there, and he got a lot of votes from that. So a retired baseball player that's been in, spends most of his time in the woods and the other part of his time behind the camera at baseball games doesn't get much recognition. So I'm good with where I am. I do dance at home on certain songs with my daughter, and she grades me high, and I'm gonna stay doing that.
How's your charity going? I know you've had some events and different things with the helping the police in Louisiana and certain things.
Charity's going great. We had an unbelievable turnout for our first ever archery competition that we raised an awful lot of money for to buy protective gear for law enforcement throughout the state of Louisiana. It went so well that we're going to expand it and bring in teams of law enforcement individuals and regular shooters from other states next year. But there's two things I'm really passionate about. One is the youth in our communities through sports and education programs, and two is law enforcement. I think they go hand in hand. I think that today's society, we need to teach our children how to respect law enforcers. Tell everybody the one barrier between normalcy and anarchy is our law enforcement. And if we can't respect them, if we can't back them and give them the proper tools and equipment to do their job safely, return home to their families, you know, that's one of the things we tend to forget. These guys aren't robots. They have families. They have hobbies, they're good people, and they're just doing a job to make our lives safer. The least we can do is pat them on the back and say thank you or offer them something that's going to help them get through the day. They've got families, they've got wives, they've got husbands, and they've got children at home waiting on them. So I felt after 2017, 2016, they had a target on their back, unfortunately. And with the Vegas shooting, we realized that pretty much large venues were very difficult to protect and get people out of there safely. So if my family is at a sporting event or a concert and something happens, I want law enforcement to run in there, not think twice about the gear that they have to go rescue people and my family and get themselves out of there safely. And that's what we did, is we had an archery event that brought in sportsmen and law enforcement. Was fantastic. And the numbers are not completely in, but we raised, I think, upwards of $55,000. We'll buy protective gear. I have a list of what is needed throughout the state and the different departments. And we're going to do it again next year. It's going to be bigger and better. And I'd like to help out Mississippi and Texas and anybody else that wants to be a part of it, because we need to protect the people that protect us.
Awesome stuff there. Kind of last thing, you're gonna get into another booth next week. I think you told me you're doing Auburn, Kentucky next week. Sean Jelly, Casey Mize, who's making a run at maybe 1-1 in the draft this summer. Pretty cool if nothing else to see some of these guys against somebody not named Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's going to be different because I'm so comfortable with Ole Miss, and I've been watching them every game this year except for the road trip to California. It'll be different. I'm excited to see a different venue. I haven't been to Lexington since my playing days. I know they've got a new facility being built behind the stadium. I think there's a lot of buzz around that team. They're very, very well coached, and they're very talented this year. And then Auburn has been so incredibly hot. And as you said, Mize and Jelly, is there a better matchup in college baseball? I don't think so. I would be really, really interested to see what both of those guys look like in person. You see them on TV, it's completely different. And Mize, I think, probably is at right now one of the best. If you were to have the draft today, I think Mize, in my opinion, I would pick him 1-1 overall. I think it's his mentality that sets him apart from everybody else. Of course, he's got electric stuff, but he's a competitor, and he's out there to strike you out, period. That's all he wants to do. And Jelly has been outstanding, too. He's tall presence on the mound. He's pitching with a tremendous defense behind him, so he's got a lot of confidence. Not so much as a strikeout pitcher as Mize, but extremely gifted arm on the mound. And both those guys are swinging the bat. Both those teams are swinging the bats really well. So I think it's two of your hotter teams, and it's a glimpse of what you're going to be looking for later on in the SEC tournament. You may see this matchup again. This is part one.
Yeah. Well, good luck this weekend, bud, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks to David for giving us a little time there on a Friday. He had a weird travel schedule and carved out a few minutes, so I do appreciate that. His interview and the podcast in general is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321. You go to that website, you can fill out the forms for Sildenafil and some other options. If you don't feel like talking to someone, or when you give them a call, just give me doctor's name. They'll get prescription ready and deliver it to you wherever you are. They're also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, and they deliver local to give you that great hometown service. So again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
David DeLucci and all of our other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans knows the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. Let Billy's Pecans handle all of your thank yous. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it with expertise and excellence and with their signature Southern style. And with items at every price point, you simply can't choose wrong. Consider the assorted gift bags, the party trio, their pecans and chocolate, and so much more there at Billy's Pecans, billyspecans.com, or you can call them. It's 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, Ben Brown and his team, they have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Romero Miller State Farm. Everyone knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. They also have great business insurance policies, great rental properties. If you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, or if you just simply want to compare rates, we strongly encourage that you do so. Go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farms, and then give Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212. You won't be sorry.
Also, podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands that market. Also a leader in condo financing, and you get the float down option, so you lock in the current rate. But if rates get up before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Ross presented Kermit with a red blazer to match his own. The women in his life got handbags today.
I saw that.
I don't know. So if it was someone else, I apologize. I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I look like Kelly Wynn game day bags. I know I was getting asked on the board. Just my own personal mild expertise in the subject. I'm gonna guess it's Kelly Wynn game day bags, but we're giving a couple purses there. So do you have that guess too? Is that right on the tip of your tongue?
I would not have known which way to guess.
Okay,
so I will take your word for it.
Ole Miss alum, done pretty well. That's what they look like, I think. So
okay. Good for her.
That would make sense.
That would
all kind of tie in there together.
It
so.
Would. Who do you think made the blazer?
That I do not know. It didn't, you know, AK's my boy. It didn't have 12 buttons, so I don't know if it was the same people that did AK's.
AK's a little taller than Kermit.
He is. The taller you are, the more buttons you need.
I would think.
Think so?
I mean, I don't. It's a good
because it would have more space between the buttons.
That's my guess.
You think like a one-button suit would look weird on AK?
I mean, I'm sure that he has suits that it's just he just does one button.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was never as like obsessed with. I'm not saying you are, but many people were obsessed with his wardrobe, and I never really was. I always thought he was a fairly good dresser. I always just figured that when you're 6'8", 6'9", you probably have to have a different cut of clothing than if you're
I don't think he's buying
feet.
Off the rack.
No. I mean, I don't. If you are, there aren't many places that you're going to buy off the rack. And then on top of that, he's really lean. And so you're going to have stuff tailored. And you're going to have a certain look if you're 6'9". It's why I would think if you're an NBA player, for example, you're having stuff made for you, cut for you, everything. You're not going into Nordstrom's and buying some stuff.
So as we get back on the Kermit Davis conversation, caveat here, I am not the best judge of recognizing basketball players, so I could have easily missed someone. In saying that, people that I saw today were Bruce Stevens, Terrence Davis, Brian Tyree, Carlos Salinas, the other kid that came from
Dominic Olenichuk, and then
Dom, and then the other kid that came with Bruce from Jones. Hit him.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking Davis.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Those were the ones that I was able to pick out and recognize.
The one that you didn't see, and I don't know whether he was there or not, is.
But one of the main ones of interest as we move forward.
It's Devontae Shuler. There are rumors regarding Devontae wanting to explore. I don't know if they're true or not. Honestly, I don't know. They're out there. You can look at his Twitter feed and tell that he's exploring a little bit, which means nothing. Because I could get on Twitter and explore a lot of things, and it wouldn't mean anything. I asked Kermit if he expected attrition. He said he hoped not, but that sometimes attrition happened, which I took to mean, look, it could happen. He is not conceding the signees. They're going to go visit Sorrell Smith. They're going to go visit Zach Naylor. And then he talked about how they've got to get out and recruit. We didn't ask him about the Middle Tennessee guys. I meant to. It's my mistake. That will come up here soon. I'll find out. Are they going to recruit those guys if they ask out of their commitments to Middle Tennessee? Look, it's going to be a busy, what's today, the
19th.
Yeah, so this is being published on the 20th.
Yeah.
It's 3-4 weeks-ish till signing day. It's going to be a busy 3-4 weeks.
I think he said the next 4 or 5 days he would talk to every player individually.
Yeah.
They're that right?
Yeah, he's got to get answers. I mean, you got to move. You got to know what you're dealing with. You have 13 scholarships, and you have to know how many do we have available. And then on Carlos Salinas, this is not about him. It's about his knee. I would think at some point Carlos probably has to start visiting the idea of a medical hardship scholarship.
Okay. Braden Bishop, just seeing this on Twitter, the really good Tupelo SID, says a couple of Tupelo connections. Kermit Davis, obviously Kermit Davis Sr., a lot of Mississippi ties. He won Grand Slams and state titles at Tupelo in 65 and 66. Kermit attended Tupelo in the first grade, and then Fletcher Johnson, Kermit's son-in-law, won six golf state titles at Tupelo. I think he might have played at state, if I'm not wrong on that. But
Fletcher?
Yeah, I think he also won the state AM in 2010.
I think he played golf at state because I was talking to his wife about him, and okay, it seems like that's what she said.
Yeah. So, anyway.
For those that are concerned about that, let me let you all in on a little something about how life works. Now, Chase has told me about people that he knows who have said, I'm not paying for my kid to go to X. So I realize that there are exceptions to everything in this world. But when we're talking about $10 million over 4 years, that's at a minimum, guys. I mean, Chase, that's assuming that he does not hit one bonus. That's assuming that he does not achieve one bonus in 4 years. He's getting $10 million. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that he achieves at least one bonus. If you make the over under one half of all the incentives on there, I'm going to go over and say that he gets at least one. So he's going to make at least $10,025,000 over the next 4 years. I'm going to tell you, for that amount of money, most people can change loyalties.
Yeah, I don't think he's trying to sabotage the Ole Miss program for Mississippi State's benefit at this point. I do not see that. I mean, it's one of the few quotes. It's one of the few quotes I do recall from Van Chancellor. He was always asked, "When did you switch from State to Ole Miss?" And he goes, "The first paycheck I received."
Yeah, come on, that's insane. The people that do that, it's insane. It's like, are you serious? It's like his dad. Who are you going to be cheering for? Gosh, I don't know. A school or my son? Who the F do you think he's going to cheer for? Look, man, I love the Cubs. I mean, Chase has to come in here every day, and there's Cub stuff in here all over the place. I love the Cubs. But if my son somehow was employed by the Cardinals, I'd cheer for the Cardinals. And if my son happened to be the manager of the Cardinals, I'm locked in.
You would be a nervous wreck to an extent that I couldn't explain every day.
Of course. So when people say, well, you know, it's just too much to overcome. No, it's not.
It's nothing to overcome.
It's not even a hurdle. It's literally as difficult as like walking down the street. You cheer for your family, and you cheer for a paycheck. And when the two are combined, it's silly. And then on top of that, Kermit Davis, he'll never admit it publicly, I suspect, felt like he had earned the Mississippi State job when they moved on from Rick Stansberry. And they hired Rick Ray instead. And I suspect that we will see in the coming years that that put a giant chip on his shoulder as it pertains to Mississippi State. Again, I like Ole Miss against State in these Kermit Davis games. And I like the next team that Ole Miss plays against Ole Miss 3 days later, because there are going to be...
You think so?
It's going to be a fight to avoid a letdown. He's a human. He appeared to be human today. And human instinct is going to be, I want that game. And after you get it, it's going to be hard to get refocused on the next one when they roll in ready for you.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people thought today he was just kind of all shucks, whatever. He's got a little fire to him. So his players will hear about it. They'll be aware of any emotional stipulations that are going on that week.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think Kermit's became ultimately mild-mannered with his team in the last 12 hours after leaving Murfreesboro.
No, his team – look, his teams at Ole Miss will play hard. His teams at Ole Miss will be disciplined, and his teams at Ole Miss will play hard. Because if you don't play hard for him, you don't play.
He's very big on discipline and structure.
Yes.
The way you look, everything down to uniforms, very – almost kind of military in nature.
He has – calmed on some of that as he's gotten older, according to people who know him, but it's still his base.
Really?
Yes. I mean, he's chilled a little bit about what they wear off the floor. He understands that they're kids.
I think he did make some mention to how they would be dressed on the floor, however.
Yes. But on the floor,
yeah,
in uniform, there's going to be a discipline.
Yeah. Think Yankees a little bit. It's
yeah. But the state game's going to mean something to Kermit Davis that goes long beyond alma maters.
Anything else stick out?
No. I thought he did really well. Now, it's, you know, most people win the press conference. Let's not make more out of that than it is. But he's off to a good start. He's got a full job in front of him. Probably a little sense of relief on his part that relief's not the right word. I'm sure he would have loved to have taken that Middle Tennessee team to New York and won an NIT title. And he thinks those kids deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. That's very clear. But I'm sure there is a part of him somewhere deep in the recesses of his soul that is glad he can focus on one job now.
Oh, yeah. The emotions he's had in both directions for how many ever days he's had this gig is substantial.
You always wonder when the fatigue kicks in on one of these. And he doesn't have a lot of time for fatigue, but somewhere in the next couple of days there's going to be, yeah, where you say to yourself, okay, you know what? I'm going to get a really good night's sleep here. I'm going to turn the phone off for one night, and I'm going to catch up, and then I got to go.
This might not mean anything. He made mention he was going to see Zach Naylor, and then Sorrell Smith.
Yeah.
Those are the only two he mentioned.
He mentioned all of them. He mentioned those two by name.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Those are critical.
They'd Higgs has already said he's staying if he can stay.
Yeah. They'd love to hang on to one or two of those guys. Smith has some major, major attention being shown to him from other programs. But that doesn't mean that Ole Miss can't walk in and clean up the recruiting. It just means that Sorrell has asked for his release and the freedom to sign elsewhere.
Yeah, you're not automatically eliminated just because of one thing. So right. It's
but you're having to re-recruit him to it'll be probably somewhat of an uphill battle. But doesn't mean you can't make it. But if you're Ole Miss at some point with Sorrell Smith, with Zach Naylor, with anybody, you've got to be able to move on. You got to go, okay, next.
Yeah.
And it's like that with anybody on the current roster who expresses a desire to leave. At some point, you have to say, okay, best wishes. And that's part of the college basketball landscape. As you pointed out on Monday's podcast, Nevada's in the Sweet 16 with 5 transfers. So, the transfers are part of the landscape. It's no longer an anomaly. It's no longer a rarity.
Yeah, you found the right dude, and if he hits the program, great.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. So,
anyway, everybody, pretty good day for Ole Miss. Gets that search out of the way. Hopefully for our sakes, we're done with coaching searches for a little while. We've had two now in 3 or 4 months or so.
Still have a women's basketball search.
I forgot it was going on. Sorry. I apologize to anyone that may be offended. I don't know. Mike, let's win some games, bud.
The greatest, most spectacular place to watch college basketball in the country.
Was that the quote?
Yeah. Now, look, the pavilion's really nice.
But
the greatest, most spectacular place to watch college basketball in the country? I mean, that's hyperbolic.
Cameron Indoor's a dump, Neil. Really is a dump.
It is. I mean,
Rupp's old.
It Rupp's old.
The Dean Dome, seen better days.
It does appear to be pretty nice.
Virginia's got a nice place.
That's what I've heard.
All that gets you is losses to Maryland, Baltimore County, but they do. they do have a nice place out here.
If they only had a nicer arena, they would have won that game.
Is it TCU that has the exact same thing as Tad Smith?
Yeah. And Wichita sort of has Tad Smith, but they've turned it into something.
Yeah, they kind of did a weird remodel thing with Wichita.
They hosted a regional.
A what?
They had tournament.
At their
NCAA
place?
Tournament was in Wichita.
It wasn't at like some local event center or something?
I've never
though?
Been to Wichita. I don't know.
Surely that was at some just place though, right?
I don't know.
Thompson Bowling's kind of cavernous.
Oh, it's real cavernous. It's too big.
Yeah, it can get weird when it's not full.
Yeah.
And there are some dumps in the league too, but.
Oh, there's no question.
Actually, I hate Coleman more than anywhere else. Something about Coleman Coliseum just kind of gets dark and bothers me.
Yeah. I have to go to a lot of games at Coleman. I can't tell how many times I got lost in Coleman Coliseum. Because it's just weird. I don't like Georgia.
They play in their volleyball in that other little place at Coleman.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's called like the Coleman Volleyball Extension or something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't like the one at Georgia.
Stegman. The PMAX a dump.
PMAX a dump.
The O'Connell Center is a dump.
It is. It's bad.
Yeah.
The hump is okay. It's just it's getting older. Bud Walton's nice, but it's not as nice as you used to think of it as. Now, that place has gotten loud.
Bud Walton.
Bud Walton can get loud.
Yeah. So, quality pocket square by Mr. Davis today. I did like his pocket square.
He did have a good pocket square.
He did.
He did have a good pocket.
He matched
square.
Well. It was good.
But he didn't match too well. He mixed.
He didn't look like a kid going to prom.
Right. He didn't look like he went in and bought a matching set. No, it was good.
Where do you think he got the red tie? Think somebody gave it to him? Think he might have just had a red tie? What do you think?
He might have had a red tie. I mean, you're a basketball coach. You got to wear a lot of ties.
But do you wear a red one when your colors are blue and white?
You could.
I'm just asking.
You could.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think if your colors are blue and white that you are restricted to the blue and white color palette. That would get old. I mean, you'd start looking.
There's always so many jackets and ties and things.
Well, there's just only so much you can do with that shade of blue. After a while, you've got to branch out. I mean, you can mix some white in, you can mix some silver, some gray.
So as long as you're not like playing Western Kentucky, you can wear the red tie.
I would think. I would think you could even mix in a little green here and there.
Okay.
Mixed in some green today.
Neil's reconsidering his life for his next one. He might want to go into coaching.
Not a bad day.
Yeah. You're wearing green today. It's after St. Patrick's Day.
This is actually, it does kind of look green. But
oh, is it not green?
It's more of a yellow and a light.
In this light, it looks very green.
But you're right. I can see how you would think this is green. And the two colors combined would make for a green.
Okay. I apologize.
It's perfectly fine.
Okay. Appreciate David again from Friday. Hope all of you have a great day. Let's all hope that every kid gets away from Swayze safe this morning or tomorrow morning or however you want to do it. And we'll be back with another podcast on Wednesday. Talk to you then.